In about an hour, the House is set to vote on a $95 billion foreign aid package to fund Israel, Ukraine, and other allies. This after a fight from hard-right conservatives over renewing support for Ukraine against Russia. House Speaker Mike Johnson's job may be on the line. Oklahoma Republican Representative Tom Cole.
I want to urge all our colleagues to support all four of these bills. We are, as Speaker after Speaker has said, at a critical moment in our history. We need to stand firm. We need to send a clear signal to the rest of the world.
Democratic Maryland Representative Catherine Clark.
As caretakers of the world's most powerful republic, we cannot look away when the world looks to us to lead the defense of democracy.
On Capitol Hill overnight, a bipartisan vote to reauthorize the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. CBS's Linda Kenyon with more.
It was an overwhelming bipartisan vote of 60 to 34, and Majority Leader Chuck Schumer was quite pleased.
Democrats and Republicans came together and did the right thing for our country's safety. It wasn't easy. People had many different views, but we all know one thing. Letting FISA expire would be dangerous.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan praised the Senate's vote, calling the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act one of the United States' most vital intelligence collection tools.
In New York, opening statements at the hush money trial of former President Trump on Monday. But yesterday, a shocking situation outside of court. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
Outside the courthouse, a 37-year-old man from Florida set himself on fire. Authorities said he threw pamphlets in the air before dousing himself with accelerant.
The pamphlets seem to be propaganda-based. Almost like a conspiracy theory type of pamphlet.
The man was rushed to a hospital where he later died.
In the Middle East, the U.S. is denying any involvement in an explosion that struck a base housing Iran-allied militias overnight. The BBC's Sebastian Usher.
It's unclear for now what exactly happened. The Iraqi army says it's investigating, but has also said there were no warplanes or drones in the sky at the time. The PMF is an umbrella organization that contains several pro-Iranian militias that are part of a network of proxies that Tehran has been able to used to advance its interests across the Middle East for years.
The nation's highest court Monday is set to consider a landmark case involving the unhoused. Justices will consider a challenge to rulings that found that fining people for sleeping outside is unconstitutional, cruel, and unusual punishment. This is CBS News.
Don't pay retail for diamonds. Come to cleanorigin.com, the lab-grown diamond experts. Mention code RADIO10 for 10% off. CleanORIGIN.com. Online or one of our retail stores.
Fighting attempts to roll back child labor laws. Mike Moen reports.
Governor Tony Evers this month vetoed a bill that would have expanded the elimination of required work permits for those under 18. The bill's language applied to 14 and 15-year-olds, several years after the state did away with parental permission for 16 and 17-year-olds. Wisconsin State AFL-CIO President Stephanie Bloomingdale says these are policy fights advocates thought they won decades ago when minors often worked in dangerous conditions. But she says there's a strong push to chip away at protections.
We are seeing a growing movement from different unscrupulous employers that want to put kids back in the workplace and not have the kind of oversight that is needed.
The Economic Policy Institute says rollbacks have been approved in a dozen states the past few years. Meanwhile, violations are trending upward, with the U.S. Labor Department reporting an 83% increase in financial penalties. Backers of the Wisconsin bill say the goal was to reduce red tape for families. But Bloomingdale says the current law helps the whole family make an informed decision.
It's important for kids to get a good work ethic, but at the same time, these kids need to make sure that they are getting enough sleep, that they are able to participate in their school, and really making sure that that balance is there.
The EPI report says amid the push in many states to weaken these laws, several other states have advanced bills to strengthen protections. And there have been bipartisan bills in Congress that, among other things, would crack down on violators. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-40s. Clear tonight with a low around 32. Sunshine and 59 for Sunday. Frosty Sunday night, we drop to the low 30s once again. For Monday, a chance of showers, breezy with a high near 63. Winds gust to 30.
Right now, 35.
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and we are brought to you by Everlight Solar, baby, powering this studio. That's what solar power sounds like. Kelly Maraca, how you doing? Join me here in the Cripescast studio. I'm doing good. We got Taylor Kalmus on the show this week, ladies and gentlemen. Otherwise known as Dude Dad, otherwise known as Dude Daddy. He's a good guy. We were just out in Denver doing some shows, and we stopped by Dude Dad's. We did a little skiing.
Couple of sketches.
Some sketches, the whole thing. Some of you might have just seen we put out the How Stanley Was Invented. I had a lot of fun with Dude Daddy. We hung out in his garage and did this podcast. So it was
good. Nice. Yeah.
His garage is a mess, by the way. It might be messier than my garage.
That's impossible.
Well, Dude Daddy and I are cut from the same cloth in that regard. He is, of course, much better at creating things in his garage than I am.
Yeah, what's your excuse? Just like,
yeah, I mean, my excuse is I'm just too busy and also not as skilled as he is. I can do your basic stuff. Yeah. He is... he does some pretty intense, good stuff. So, but I would like to get more into it because, you know, you got a friend who like does good work, like either you got a friend who can like do better at woodworking or sing better or dance better. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I got to get on my game. That's how I feel with him and
woodworking.
Yeah. Or just general DIY stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yours is like your DIY is duct tape for, It's WD-40.
I would say it's a little more sophisticated than that, but not much.
Wood glue.
Nah, I would say my skills are all YouTube based after your basic carpentry skills. Mm. You know, like the basic stuff you learn.
Yeah.
Like general, maybe framing. That would be the extent of what I feel like I can confidently do. And then from there on, it's just all YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing, Colleen? Enough about me and my envy. That's really what that is
yeah.
Envy.
Do you want to unpack anymore?
No, I think I unpacked it. I just want to be more like Dude Daddy.
I like that. What yeah. else? I think that's great. How do you think he wants to be like you?
No, I don't think so. I think maybe there are some aspects, and I don't want to be just like Dude Daddy, you know, but there yeah. are some things that you have friends, and this is
you look up to in some ways.
Yeah. This isn't just a Dude Dad thing. This is a ton of friends that you have where you admire something that.
Yeah. How do you look up to me? Operative word is friend.
That's a good question. Well, no, you.
Moving on.
Moving right along. Jinx on the No, Colleen, listen, I'll give you something here. I think you have a very good relationship with your friends and you make time for your friends. And I don't make much time for, I've set up my life so I am
You're just a busy guy.
In a constant state of biz. But I am hoping to slow down. That yeah. is part of my deal. Anyway, folks, all right, we should probably get into it.
Yeah.
Here is my conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dad.
Picked up for you.
You did. And you did a really nice job here, Taylor. Like, I like how, you know, you got the bikes down there.
Mm-hmm. This is, there's an assortment of like six different projects happening that are unfinished and just scattered out throughout with tools every which way.
I feel like there's no greater poster for Dude Dad than this garage right now because it's just all tools.
Ski boots,
extreme sports things. Do you sell that stroller that's rigged up to the go-kart
thing? Heidi made me take the RC power off of the stroller.
Why? Safety concerns?
Because it's that the remote would go wonky once in a while and it would just kind of take off.
Yeah. If anything, you don't want to just kind of take off with a remote. I would say a stroller.
With a baby in it, yeah.
Stroller would be one of them.
Yeah.
Folks, this week's episode is brought to you by Barron's Old Fashioned Brandy. And that's actually a good point. I didn't even do the intro of this podcast.
I'm sponsoring mine.
Yeah, it's expensive.
No one pays for your podcast anymore, so you just sponsor yourself. No,
hey, that's not true. Actually, thank you for bringing that up, because we do have a great sponsor that powers the Cripescast, typically, Taylor. That's Everlight Solar. Have you considered? Oh, you got solar panels.
I have solar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's super. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Especially when the snow melts off of it and they start working again.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, no, you got to have a good pitch.
You got to
have a good pitch.
We get a lot of sun here.
You got a nice pitch here.
Yeah. No, you want it to face south.
Yeah.
So then you get the sun coming across there all day.
Are you solar explaining to me right now?
This is just what I was told when they pitched me.
Taylor had the option of what to drink today. Anyway, folks, Everlight Solar, fantastic company, powers the Cripescast studio when we're actually doing the Cripescast studio.
I'm having some Barron's Old Fashioned...
Fireball. He pours Fireball. I literally bring him
I didn't know where it was at.
Dante brought you a bottle all the way from Milwaukee, and you started drinking Fireball. Not only did you... I've never seen somebody pour themselves an actual glass of Fireball. Like, he's got Fireball on the rocks here.
Well, a little bit of hot, a little bit of cold.
I suppose. works for Fireball. Maybe it works for other things.
Hey, I just put seven kids asleep upstairs before coming down here to this studio.
I do appreciate you doing this. Taylor is doing me a favor today, folks, if I'm being honest, because...
Charlie didn't have anything planned. And we're supposed to be going skiing tomorrow. So he's like, hey, can we talk in front of the camera for an hour?
I mean, we've been talking all day.
Yeah,
this guy literally is sick of talking to me, but here it is.
Let's move on. What do you want to talk about, Chuck?
I want to talk about this couch that you have in your garage, man. This isn't a couch.
My new Davenport.
Dude. This is a Davenport.
100%.
Did you actually like?
We paid for this.
No way.
$400.
Come on.
It looks
like it came right out of the 70s.
It's fantastic. Is it vintage? It looked even better in the Craigslist ad.
Oh, did it? Why? What did you see? Stains were not disclosed?
Burke brought it home, and there's some tears in it, but then he had his mom come and stitch them up.
Oh, yeah. You can barely tell.
No, you can't tell anymore.
I don't even remember
where they're at.
Burke's mom's really cool.
Yeah,
Cheryl. I met her the other night.
Cheryl, she stitched it up.
Cheryl did a heck
Anybody
of a job
with
on
a
this
name
Davenport.
Like Cheryl, you know, is going to be able to run a good stitch.
I mean, my gosh.
You ever met a Cheryl that can't run a good stitch?
Never. Never.
If I get my face cut open, I'm walking around going, Cheryl!
Yeah, you got to have Cheryl. And she'll be right there.
Stitch me up.
She won't have anesthesia, but she will have some brandy. Barron's Old Fashioned Brandy, folks. That's probably where I get in trouble, right? When I start...
Putting it in your... You should just put a little disclaimer at the bottom.
That says do not actually put
Barron's Old Fashioned Brandy into your wounds.
No. I'm not saying you... No.
Oh, Taylor, you drink it while you're getting stitched?
It's an anesthetic. Like when I was a kid, okay, I cracked my eye open, right? I had a big gash right there. Can you see it? There's a scar here. I can't remember where. Can you see it?
This side.
Yeah.
It's right there.
So that scar. I was playing guitar in my room. Fender Squire.
Right, so you're in your room getting your angst out.
I'm playing some Everclear probably.
Okay.
Or trying to learn a sick Red Hot Chili Peppers solo. And And so, but then my dad called me and I had forgotten to do something. And so when he called me, I was like, oh, sh-, you know, because I was going to go run and do that before I got caught not doing it. And I hit the guitar on my eye.
Ah.
And I cut my eye open. Anyway.
You cut your eye open with a G string.
He'll be here all 48 more minutes of this podcast, folks. Anyway, long story short.
He cut his eye with, open with a G-string.
And my dad sewed it up on the kitchen table. And for anesthetic, he offered me a little bit of hooch. I forget
he
what it was.
He let you drink it? 16?
Yeah, because down he wasn't going to use
because it was a medical thing.
Anesthetic.
It was a medical thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It was a nice bonding moment. So then there on the kitchen table where we had just had our casserole, he sewed up the old hot dish.
I just had the same bonding moment with my son. He got smacked in the face with a barbell that DJ's son was yielding an accident. And they called us up and they said, hey, Theo got banged up. He might need some stitches. You might want to come get him. I'm like, okay. So I went over there, looked at it. Good deep cut. But they had a butterfly on it already. And they're like, and Amber's a nurse. And she's like, well, you might be able to just put another butterfly on there. So I got him out of there. We drove to the grocery store. I was walking in the grocery store. And I said, all right, buddy, look. We can go. We got two options. You can go. We can go in, get you a butterfly, and Daddy's gonna have to shave a little bit of your hair to get that butterfly to stick real good.
Yeah.
Option two, I take you to the hospital and you get stitches. And he goes, option one, option one, option one. And I was like, cool.
You were proud.
He was like 100% option one.
I mean, yeah. I feel like Theo's a kid who may think stitches would be kind of fun.
No, he thought he was going to die.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he literally thought it was the over. He thought it was the end.
How old is...
He's eight.
Okay, and Ollie, you said, had the weight? Dude, what is that kid doing being able to throw dumbbells?
It's a barbell. I don't know. It must have been... I don't know what DJ's got for weights over there.
So he's a pretty strong kid.
He's big for eight.
And then... You see this thing, and she's a nurse, so that gives you a little, you know, that gives you, like, you don't feel like you have to, because I would feel
like... It wasn't bleeding anymore. It had already kind of stopped bleeding, but it was deep. It was deep.
Yeah.
But you pull it together with a butterfly. Oh, I need to switch that out. Ooh, shoot.
You got to go do that now?
Not switch right it now. Out? He's sleeping.
That might be the time to do it.
No.
Tomorrow?
You'll do it tomorrow. I'm going to be gone. So... Well, how long can you leave one bandage on?
You know what? Heidi's going to be upset about doing that, but I took your garbage out. So
oh, good.
I think that's you're helpful. Square on
Thanks,
that.
Chuck.
How long can you leave a bandage on? How long has it been on?
Two days.
Should we call my dad?
Make a poll quick. It's been on two days. How long can you leave the same bandage on?
How much Neosporin did you put in it?
I cleaned it with the alcohol wipe.
Oh, you did?
We did an alcohol wipe and cleaned it up good.
But you didn't put any Neosporin in it?
No.
Yeah, you might want to go check that bag.
No. So, you're back at Casa de Kelmis.
You've
stayed with us quite a few times now. Have you been enjoying your stay?
I love how this interview just turned into your podcast.
So, well, here's the thing. That. Charlie comes out here once in a while, spends a few nights in our basement. We enjoy having you. You're good with the kids.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Always make the bed. You'll never believe this about Chuck. He makes the bed before he leaves. He always makes the bed.
That's always a big question, dude. I always, as a Midwest people pleaser, I'm sitting here thinking too, like, I want to be a good guest.
Well,
I make your bed?
There's three options.
Yes.
You either make the bed.
Yep.
You either don't do anything and just leave it kind of slept in looking.
Yeah.
Or the third option is you pull the sheets up and you lay them in the middle of the mattress that basically says, I know you're going to do this laundry.
Yeah.
But I don't like that third option because it implies that we really need to do the laundry.
Do you remember when you came and stayed in my house in Milwaukee, in my duplex? You got in the bed and there was a pack of cigarettes in there?
Like, who was here last?
It was Billy Deuce.
Okay.
And I told you that I prepared the room. See, I'm not, like, if they don't look noticeably dirty and someone was only there a couple nights, I'm assuming sleeping in your basement that I'm sleeping. Although I
those sheets are clean.
I did see you sent me a picture with just a gun and a toilet paper roll saying I made the bed for you. That was fun. Yeah. I'll show you guys that picture.
Yeah. Yeah, throw that up in there.
I won't share the text message.
100%. I'm not stripping the sheets after you leave. You've only been here one night.
And I'm a pretty clean. I don't sweat. Well, I do have some night sweats, actually.
I don't know. Like, what's
you,
the...
you might want to wash them sheets. I'm going to be honest with you. But you know what?
Well,
frankly,
ball them up and put them in the middle, and I'll know you're gross.
Yeah. So you don't want to wash the sheets. You would prefer I just leave the sheets on when I make the bed. Because the last time I think I took the sheets off, put them in the washer or the dryer.
If you're going to wash them for us.
No, I'm not going to wash them. I'm going to put them in the washing machine because I don't want to wake you up with the sound of it.
So we're going to come down and find dry sheets in the washer and go, ah, he didn't even start it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's what you would have found the last time I was here. But I had left early, very early in the morning.
The normal type of content you do on this?
No, but I'm happy.
Talking sheets.
I think sheets I've been trying to do this sketch forever of like the sheets thing, but I haven't found a good way to do it because it's like, hey, I'm just going to do the sheets before you. Do not touch those. What? Do not touch the sheets. No, I got to do them. You know, they're fine. They're fine. Okay.
Oh, yeah. But like,
so you're, I don't want to make you do them. I like doing the sheets. Do you like doing the sheets? Or do you just...
Oh, I hate making a bed. But I'm so bad at it. Heidi gives me so much crap because I don't know how to do the little folds and make it, you know. I think all sheets should be fitted sheets. They should just make a second fitted sheet that doesn't have the one end. So you can just slide under that.
Yes. Yeah, a little pocket.
Little pocket.
Little,
a bed pocket.
Bed pocket.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That's a good idea.
And then as an extra blanket, you could have the bed handkerchief. So there's just a blanket sticking out of it.
Basically, you know? It's a sleeping bag that wraps over your mattress and you just slide into that.
Yeah.
And then it makes itself because it's spandex and it's tight.
It's 2024 and we're still making
Let's
our
do this.
Beds.
Let's We've do
this. We've
been
making our beds since like what? The 17 BCs.
I've been making my bed since 2011 when I got married.
I'm sorry, I got distracted by how good we look because we're both clashing with this Davenport in different ways. Like three shades of brown on
this. Well, this Davenport has so many different colors in it that you can't sit on this and not fit in with it.
It's kind of like the Mona Lisa of couches in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you look at this long enough, you'll see your future.
Mm-hmm. That's really nice. Mm-hmm. You know what? We really should have shot the sketch with this being the chair. We did Midwest Couples Therapy.
Oh, yeah.
We shot that today. We're... Taylor plays his Steve character.
Steve and Stacy.
Heidi plays Stacy, and I'm the therapist.
If you have not seen our Buying a House in the 90s sketch, Heidi's best work ever. She leans into her Fargo accent and plays a Midwest mom, and oh my gosh. Oh, geez.
Oh, you know,
I tell you what. Oh,
it's
wow.
Like she's been sitting on a timpani this whole time and hasn't played it for us.
Well, she has, her mom has this little laugh that she does where she'll say something she'll say something that she knows isn't what other people in the room agree with, but then she kind of softens the blow by giving a little giggle after she says it.
Oh, like, give me an
example. So she'll be like, you know, oh, no, I don't like brandy. None for me.
You know? And just give you like a real passive aggressive thing. You're not good enough for my daughter.
Yeah.
Honey, yeah. It's not too late to leave them, huh?
Yeah.
And then your character. So
sushi,
that's
I don't know. That's not for me. But I can't do the laugh. But Heidi doesn't.
So
like,
Heidi
oh
is kind of doing that impression.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
And then who are you sort of impersonating with that one?
Oh, God, I don't know. Just a lot of people. You know, you pick little things up here and there. I don't know where we got the... I think I like a character with, like... Whenever I do make a character, I try to, like, give him a posture. Like, you find a little bit of a voice. So, like, I just work with the few vocal things that I can do.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be, like, making a little deeper or a little bit higher, or a little bit raspier, or a little bit throatier. Or, and then you give them the lisp, and then you do the Midwest accent, or you do the Southern accent, you know. Yeah. Or really, I don't have a Southern accent. It's just redneck accent.
Yeah, it's something. Yeah,
I couldn't really call it Southern. It's just redneck.
It's kind of like Oklahoma.
Yeah, but I give them that. Find a little bit of a voice. But then I think what helps me to get in character is find like a posture or a walk.
Yeah.
You know, and then like, you know, for a posture, like this is always good. Yeah. You know, especially for like a basic dad who's just like your stereotypical kind of like dorky guy.
Yeah.
But then to like, I wanted to give him the quality of being a close talker. Which, yeah, I think is really close talker. Oh yeah, how about that?
It's so uncomfortable, dude.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
You know he's a little bit of a close talker.
Who's that now?
Miles is kind of a close talker.
Miles?
Yeah.
Miles.
I noticed that while we were out in LA.
Did you call him out on it?
It's not close enough that it's too much, but have a lot of conversations here.
You should get closer to him. you tell me when you're doing it because I want to watch.
If he notices.
Be like, dude, what are you doing?
He doesn't listen to your... No, he doesn't listen to this.
Miles hasn't listened to a Cripes cast in... He might have listened to 5 minutes of one time. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
So we're safe. Nobody tell him.
I wonder. Somebody tell him. Next time, I want to see if he finds out.
Next time you're talking to him, just see if he edges in close.
I'm going to be talking to him soon. I do a podcast with him. So he's really cool. Did you know we do a podcast together?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm aware.
I am aware. So we went, Taylor and I went hunting together in...
We're going to get into that. Yeah.
In South Dakota.
It was my dad's dream. He was like, I would love for you to come hunting. Mm-hmm. Also bring Charlie.
That was very nice.
Like, yeah, I think we're coming out. Is Charlie coming? Yeah, Dad, he's coming. Okay, cool.
I came all right, and I did not disappoint.
I'm from South Dakota, lots of pheasants there. So, and you wanted to go pheasant. I'm like, oh, that'd be awesome. Let's go. So, yeah. Called up my dad, got a bunch of my relatives together. We take Charlie pheasant hunting. Beforehand, we kind of run him through a few things because we haven't hunted with Charlie yet. And my uncle is really particular about safety and just how things are done. He is a by the books kind of guy.
Which I am too.
Yeah.
I don't want people to stop listening to this right now and think I'm unsafe. You fired a gun in the back
of your dad's SUV.
Let's see here. How many times did you dump your motorcycle?
Once.
Why?
Because
you
weren't
watching
because
out
of gravel.
For... There was a jackrabbit.
No, there was gravel. It was in town. I was going like 3 miles an hour and there was gravel.
Regardless, the gun issue, that was my brother's man. Didn't unload his gun, put it in the back of the thing, put it in the thing. I pulled out four guns, all in cases.
So my Uncle Bill walks Charlie through all the rules. You know, hey,
not all of them.
No ground pounding. We get to the end of the field. We got blockers. Keep your shots up. Just wait till they go behind you. Shoot them. All of that kind of stuff. The one thing he didn't mention is that you only shoot the roosters, okay? So we go through the first drive. We're just getting into the first drive. A couple of hens fly out. Charlie, bom, 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 shoots a couple times. And I'm like, oh, he must have... Maybe I couldn't see it because of the light, or maybe he was shooting at a different one. I don't know. And then another hen pops up. Charlie again, pop, pop, pop. And I was like...
no one said don't shoot the hen.
And then I kind of crept over to Charlie and I was like, hey, man, you know you can't shoot the hens, right? And he was like, what? You can't shoot the hens? Like, no.
I understand that that's common now in South Dakota.
So, but hold on. What was happening before that? Hen! Rooster!
I was like, yeah, there's a hen. I'm going to shoot it. Pow! Luckily, I missed all the time.
So I walk a little closer to Charlie. I say, hey, Chuck, you know you're not supposed to shoot the hens. What? Yeah, no, just shoot the roosters.
Yeah.
But your reason was like made sense. You were like, I've only ever hunted on game farms where you can shoot both.
But the only place you can ever hunt.
In Wisconsin.
There are no wild pheasant in Wisconsin. So I've only gone pheasant hunting in Wisconsin.
But
you would think.
The moral of the story is Chuck was fine because it's not illegal to shoot at them. So he could have hunted hens all day.
You know, I was too for a while.
No, but you got a bird. Mm. It took like 3 or 4 drives. We kept putting you in the middle, and then finally, about 4 guns went off, but we know it was yours that brought him down.
That's what I like about you, Taylor, is that you're always going to give me the benefit of the doubt.
You got him. You got, oh God, you peppered him good. Right in the back straps, he went right down. He just locked up like a sack of just dropped.
Yeah, that was fun.
Found him right away.
I haven't gotten an invite back.
You have. Yeah, you have.
Did you go this past year?
No, I did not. I went elk hunting, but maybe we go this year.
That would be fun.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe you come out to Wisconsin.
We'll see you at the Roaring Gulch.
You can shoot your first hen.
No, let's go out to Wisconsin fishing. Theo wants to do that.
Oh, yeah. We go ice fishing, but there's no ice.
Hey, let's change the topic. So we just went on a new adventure together. We went back out to Los Angeles, our old stomping grounds. We got invited out there about 4 years ago. We shot a video. It's our second video ever together. We shot a video together called Husband's a Target.
Yes, we did.
Along with Miles, You Betcha Guy, and Penn Holderness from the Holderness family. The four of us got together, shot this video called Husband's a Target. Kind of blew up, was this big thing. And then 4 years later, literally the anniversary was yesterday.
That's crazy.
I got a little thing. 4 years later, we get a call from Target, the actual Target, after having never heard anything from them. They call us up and they say what?
They said, yeah, you want to do a part two? And we were like, thank God we didn't actually shoot that part two.
Yeah, because we almost shot a part two. But they flew us out to shoot a part two along with Matthew Stafford from the Rams and Garrett Wilson from the Jets.
Yes, it was a good time. And, I will say that a lot of that credit goes to you, Taylor, because 4 years ago when you were like, hey, I got this idea for Husbands of Target.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, okay, sounds interesting. Did not think.
It was huge, man. It was a collection of a lot of things. I think we hit a lot of demos with that video because you hit all of the moms that shop at Target, but you also hit their husbands who have to wait for them outside of Target. So I really think it was one of those videos that hit a lot of demographics, but also we had 4 major pages that pushed it. Like had I made that video with just 3 other random dudes, it would have done good, but it would have never done what it did. It would have never had that same impact. Because A, we wouldn't have had the pages to push them, but B, like everything that you guys brought to it on your own, elevated it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. What I did there was, made sure to bring the beef jerky.
And you locked your keys in your car.
I did lock my keys in my car.
I think the crazy thing though was to think back to that day 4 years ago.
Trying to pry out my back seat to get in the trunk.
Yeah, literally Charlie was driving this
Corolla.
Crappy old Corolla, locked his keys in the trunk.
Crappy old, it's still running, by the way.
Yeah, and then, we were all just, of course it is. but we were all in the very beginning of this whole thing, really trying to find ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to find, what'd you say?
Find ourselves.
I wasn't trying to find myself. I was trying to find my keys. And I tried prying the trunk. And then finally, I just had to bite the bullet and call a freaking key AAA. Guy.
I called AAA because I had AAA at the time because that happened to me all the time.
My
cars were always breaking.
I ended up paying for it.
Ugh.
Yeah, because I think, it was $200.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was probably whatever. But anyway, then you fast forward 4 years, Target flies us first class, which I roan first class twice ever.
Yeah, I've did it one time.
I've never paid for first class. Let me just be back there. I've never paid for
it. Why would you do that?
First class put us up in this swanky hotel, and I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You could have put us anywhere.
Yeah.
We would have gone.
I got points at the Holiday Inn.
Uh-huh.
But it was super fun. Super full circle moment. And Taylor went to Target to buy his outfit, and he bought
I didn't buy my outfit. I didn't buy my outfit for the shoot. I was just shopping at Target with my wife.
Oh, and you bought this shirt.
I found a nice flannel. I like that flannel. I bought that flannel. I wore that flannel to the shoot, knowing they were going to fit us, whatever. But I'm like, I'll wear this. I feel good in it. And then they fit Charlie before they even look at what I'm wearing. And they put him in the same shirt I was wearing.
And how did that make you feel, seeing me wear your
Target shirt? I was bummed because I really liked that shirt. And I was like, God, they didn't even get to see me in it. Yeah. Because then they were just like, now we got other stuff for you.
Hey, when I come around, Taylor, hide your flannels.
They put me in a nice salmon hoodie.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was fine.
Well, you lucked out because believe it or not, it was colder in Los Angeles than it was in Milwaukee when we shot that thing. Yeah. And you had a hoodie on.
Full circle moment though, but I just remember like smiling all day long, just being like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
You were cow.
This is ridiculous.
CBS News Brief. Debate is over on the floor of the House, where lawmakers are expected to pass a bipartisan $95 billion package, including funding for Ukraine and Israel. CBS's Natalie Brandt with details.
House Speaker Mike Johnson moved forward with the foreign aid bills after months of gridlock, faced with opposition from members of his own party pushing to prioritize border security.
An overwhelming vote in the Senate to reauthorize what the government says is a key tool in fighting terrorism. Now the FISA Act is headed to President Biden's desk. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Thank you to all my Senate colleagues on both sides of the aisle for their good work in getting this done.
Former president's hush money trial gets underway on Monday with opening statements and the first witness.
The jurors understand that they're weighing in on not just the facts presented to them and the law, but a historic decision.
CBS News legal analyst Jessica Levinson, CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
The Brewers escape a close call. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers pitcher Freddie Peralta was covering home plate while his catcher was chasing down the baseball. Cardinals base runner Wilson Contreras crashed into Peralta trying to score. That's the last thing the Brewers pitching staff needed. Here's the play on Bally Sports.
A swing and a miss. It gets by Contreras. Freddie covering home plate. There's going to be a play, and Contreras is out. Wilson just flat out tackled Freddie Peralta at home plate. You're going to get an out at home, and that's going to end the inning.
The game went into the 10th inning in St. Louis when the Brewers' William Contreras drove in the winning run for a 2-1 win for Milwaukee. Manager Pat Murphy after the win at Busch Stadium.
Freddie and Contreras were unbelievable. William on both ends. You know, the big double and the big single. What can you say? He's clutch. Big game. 1-0 game. Just spectacular. And Contreras he earned his money tonight. He's going to earn a lot more. I promise you.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-40s. Clear tonight with a low around 32. Sunshine and 59 for Sunday. Frosty Sunday night, we drop to the low 30s once again. For Monday, a chance of showers, breezy with a high near 63. Winds gust to 30.
Right now, 35.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke...
Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, folks, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Cripescast, hosted by me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media.
All right. You want to get them questions or?
Oh, yeah. Do we have the questions?
Hey, let's get them questions there, quick ones.
All right. Folks, now it is time for the no more listening to Charlie and Taylor ramble. Now it's time for you to guide the conversation. That's nice. I don't even have to do my job. Dante, what questions do we have?
First one, this is for Taylor from Greg Whale 20. What's your favorite scout? Greg Whale 20.
This is gonna be good.
What's your favorite sketch you've done with Charlie?
How IKEA was invented. That's an easy one. That's that video trend. It was just, it was different. Nobody had done that yet. And it was just very, the writing I thought was really good, but then the characters and the way we like basically swapped out meth for energy drinks, I thought was really clever. Yeah. And just made these like, just goobers, like really innocent, but also like really mapped out exactly what IKEA is like. I thought that video, I mean, that's the one.
Before that video, I went to the gas station to get pretty much every energy drink they had.
We drank so much energy drink that day.
But we didn't drink all of them because after that shoot, I got into my Corolla and I threw, because I was driving my car back from LA because I moved out of Los Angeles. And so I threw a box of the leftover energy drinks in my trunk. I was cleaning my basement the other day. And I found,
you still had them?
Yeah, like two bangs.
Just a couple of bangs.
I bet you I could put them in the gas tank now and run it for a while.
Yeah, in terms of sketches, that's probably one of my like favorite sketches of all time.
Yeah, mine too.
But my favorite one with you for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, I think that is my favorite one too. Sometimes I was looking at that video. I saw it on it. Someone sent it to me because it was, oh, this is why. Someone posted it on LinkedIn, some like CEO or something. And I was looking at my hair in that thing. And oh my God, dude.
Oh yeah, you had locks.
I did. And cargo shorts too, which I think
I was wearing
unironically.
Yeah. And I remember being like, that'll be fine. But that.
I think you said we're not going to shoot below the belt.
Yeah. The other thing that like, because a lot of people don't think they don't realize how much thought goes into some of these videos. And sometimes the videos don't have very much thought put into them and you just kind of send it. But like the arch that we built in that video and the momentum and the pacing of it was all a part of it that we thought about, you know, that it didn't just like, because you can't start here. You have to start here and get to here, you know.
Yeah.
And then hit it and stop and turn and then finish, you know, like.
You're still talking about.
Yeah. Still talking about sketches. Next question.
Next one is from the Crouchcast executive producer, Colleen Maraca. What are each of your favorite and least favorite things about each other?
What is that? You know what that's
wow.
like? That's like, have you ever played, has Heidi ever gotten a game like We Must Be Strangers or something? And where you like pull cards about your relationship, like past relationships or like your past. And they're all relationship questions and they're all written to like get you in trouble with who you're playing the game with.
Okay, I wasn't listening to anything you said. I was thinking about my answer. Maybe that's yours for me. Should we do the good or the bad first?
Oh, do the bad. We're only going to do the bad.
Well, we got to do the good too.
Okay.
Because you got to hit with a peanut butter and jelly.
Give me the bad.
The bad is you never stop working. But that's also kind of the good, but I'm also like, I don't want you to just burn out and die because you work so hard.
I'm on track for a 42-year-old
job. How many shows have you done this year? Like 4,000?
Yeah. Not 4,000.
The camera's not running. This is intervention. But the good is that you're authentic. when people see the videos, that's pretty much who you are.
Well, thank you. Yeah,
pretty much.
Wait.
Pretty much.
Yeah. What is?
Can you imagine? Hold on. Can you imagine how hard it would be to like fake a persona and put out as much content as we do, and to be like claim to be somebody that you're not? You know how hard that would be. You know how hard that would be. Like, because like the truth kind of comes out in your content, because it would be so difficult to like pretend you're somebody that you're not.
Oh, I thought you were sitting here low key roasting me for the man talk minute right now.
No.
I'm not from Manitowoc.
But you're not from Manitowoc, but you're still very close to like, you're not as redneck as that, but you're still like pretty much,
no,
you're still that person here, in a lot of ways.
Where do you go duck hunting when you typically go?
I've got a buddy on the Platte River here, but I grew up in South Dakota just doing sloughs and stuff early morning. I started duck hunting when I was so little that, well, just, I was old enough to carry a gun, which was 11,
let him back,
but I was small enough that I couldn't walk through the mud. So my dad would carry me out to the edge of the slough and set me down on a bucket so that we could shoot ducks together.
Did you guys, so you guys basically grew up on that farm that I went to?
Yep.
And did
from
you
when
have,
I was three.
Did yeah. you have all those, you got the mini horses there? Because I went to Taylor's farm to hunt, and at night he's got just like, I don't know, what, 20 little
there's
horses?
I think she has 13 miniature horses, two miniature mules, and then a couple of quarter horses. Hey, we skipped right over the question.
Oh, yeah, you now.
Oh, yeah, because I gave you my, you work too much.
Now it's
and
yours.
Then the And then the but you're thing. Authentic.
Yeah,
you're
authentic.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so... let's see here. What do I not like about Taylor? Is that it? What was the actual question?
Your favorite quality.
Least favorite thing about Taylor. Huh.
I got mine.
I'm looking around your garage. I honestly feel like here's my,
because
you're kind of a workaholic too, and I kind of follow a lot of times. I see your output, and then I'm like, oh, I got to keep up with that. So, really, this is my way of it's not projecting, but it's I am rubber, you are glue, whatever you say bounces off me in 60. You're a workaholic.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong, but I don't travel as much as you. I just stay home with children.
That is true.
You have your shows. I have four children.
That's true. That's true. So you're a parentaholic.
I think my fault is I'm a yes man. I'm like, oh, let's do that. Yes. Let's do that. Yes. You know, let's have a third kid. Yes. Let's have a fourth kid. Yes. You know, but
let's try for a fifth kid,
you know, and you know, because
that
just,
vasectomy worked,
you know, and it's a great idea. It's just there's nights where it's very hard.
yeah because you were talking about you know, getting sleep, and but it's when the kids go down that's when you got,
yeah, that's I stay up late because it's the quiet time where nobody needs anything from me because no one else is working, so they're not asking me for stuff and all the kids are sleeping. Here's the deal though, Charlie, why is it that we have to make some of the most important decisions of our lives while we have the least amount of blood in our brain? Why is it that is the time that we're making those decisions? You know,
wait, can you define that? Can you just define that question?
But also,
when do you have
like,
the least amount of blood in your brain?
When have you, it's like when you go to the movies and like you're watching a movie, right? And you get to the last climactic scene, like you're not just like, oh, you know, it'll be fun. Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about
let's pull out of this movie theater.
I was like, I thought we were talking about something completely different. Than,
no.
And folks, that's a taste for Doodad Live. How Doodad is it Live? Touring, man? How is it touring?
I mean, we tour a lot less than you. And we take some of our children with us because it is a thing. So we're doing, I think, 20 dates this year. 20. I think 20 shows, something like that. So it's not a huge lift. And essentially what we do is, first off, I said at the beginning, I told Heidi, I'm like, I want to do a live show, but I'm not going to do a live show unless you're a part of it and you come with me, because I couldn't do that to our marriage. I knew it would be difficult. I didn't want to leave her at home with four kids and I'm out on the road just like,
just
so I was like, I'm only doing this if you're going to go with me, you know, because we're not going to do that. And then we also take the youngest two with us. And the older two have school, so they stay back with family friends. Mm-hmm. But that means we can only leave at like 4 days at a time. So we go for 4 days, and then we're home for like 3 weeks. And then we go for another 4 days. And I wasn't sure how difficult that would be, because like, you know, when you get in the zone, you kind of want to be in the zone. But I'm also finding that like four shows is kind of my max before my brain's like, I don't remember what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah,
my fourth show on this last run, it was still good, but it was my sloppiest show where I like missed a section, had to go back. Nobody knew what happened, but I knew.
You know? Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a lot. It's definitely a lot. Four show runs is, I'm pretty not in it by the fourth deal either.
It's fun though. We're doing a 2 hour show. You know, with the openers do about 30 minutes, and I do an hour and a half. Heidi comes out for part of it.
Do you like that length? Is that a good length for you?
I don't know how to make it shorter.
Yeah?
I mean, I could.
I was waiting for the joke there.
There's no joke. I just don't know how to make it shorter.
So now you don't want to do an innuendo?
That's the long as the show is. There's some things we can cut out, but they're some of our favorite parts. We do a lot of stuff with the audience. Like, it's not as done.
I just love how you force an innuendo into the conversation. And now I invite you. I open the door to this innuendo three times and you're still talking about your show.
It's not an innuendo. It's not a normal straight stand-up show. We do some straight stand-up, and then there's a lot of audience participation stuff that has been the fan favorite of the whole thing. So we've been leaning in and doing more of that.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm like, man, if we could do an hour and a half of just straight that would be wild.
Yeah. I mean, you probably could. That kind of relies on the energy of the thing, but also they need your stand up to get going and get cooking.
Every room is different too. That's the crazy thing is some rooms you go into and it's like, oh my God, that was crazy. And then you go to the next one, you're like, why are you guys so tired?
yeah that is a sort of like, if you get a Thursday late show, that's a completely different vibe than
and the first two shows we did this year were Tuesday and Wednesday at a club, and so then we're all in our head of like, this is not as good as we thought it was. And then we went out on the road and those shows are on weekends and in theaters, and they just crushed.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, okay, good.
People can, you know, it's such a weird mix of people just needing to be in the right mood, and obviously you're drinking less. Drinking always helps those games a little bit.
Yeah, that's why if you're gonna do a weekday show, go to some place like Milwaukee, you know, where they're gonna be boozing no matter what day it is.
Anyways, but you're feeling good. Where can people go find you on Twitter?
Doodad.com. Check out the live shows, see what we have left. We're going to Omaha next, Des Moines, Iowa, and then we got four shows in Vegas. And so if we're not coming to your city, come see us in Vegas. And we're giving out free meet and greets for anybody that flies to Vegas, if you're one of the first 40 people for each show. We've got four shows in Vegas. And then we do Houston, Dallas, and then we got three shows in Colorado.
So if they fly to Vegas and they're one of the first 40 people to fly there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they send they got to send us their receipt for their plane ticket to show, hey, I'm flying out there.
Oh,
and
nice.
Put them on the meet and greet list.
Nice. What if you're the 41st person? Would you do it?
Try to go get a different show. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe we'll see you at the tables.
Pretty strict on the 40-person limit.
I'm not, but the venue is, because they need to get.
Oh, they got to get.
They got to turn it over for the next show.
That's a good move. Blame it on the venue. I like that. Any more questions, Dante? People had.
There's one more from Tacoma Seabro. Now, this
one's for Tacoma Seabro. Okay.
How many 5-year-olds could you fight until they eventually take you over?
How many 5-year-olds could you fight until they eventually take you over?
5-year-olds are so weak, but they're loud. I think that the noise would be the thing, is that you wouldn't know, you couldn't hear them coming, because all you would hear is just the noise of the 5-year-olds. But I feel like the thing would be is if they got on top of you and weighed you down. Because if I'm just punching 5-year-olds, well, I could go through quite a few, and it would probably only take one or two hits for each one.
Taylor, only one. First one you punch tells their mom you get canceled.
Yeah, that's true. I can't.
You're done.
So zero?
One. It takes one to take me down.
Yeah.
Well, no, it probably,
that's an easier answer.
You wouldn't punch one, but if there were 100, you'd probably be punching a few. So I think it's probably 100.
100?
One could bring you down, but you need the scenario where they're all there.
Yeah, I feel like even 80 would be a lot.
80? Yeah.
I mean, if we're pulling straws here.
How many 5-year-olds attacking you would you start punching?
Well, I mean, are they rabid? Are they just normal 5-year-olds?
Children of the corn 5-year-olds.
I think this scenario that he's setting up here is it's life or death, and it's me or the 5-year-olds, correct? And in this scenario, you've got to be
zombie 5-year-olds.
They're zombie 5-year-olds. I'm not going to get canceled if I punch him. Okay.
I mean,
all right. So
in this political climate,
if I can get canceled, it's one. Okay. If I can't get canceled, and it's just literally to survive me or the 5-year-olds, and I'm just knocking them down and running away, 78.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, we don't want to set you to the 80 mark, you know.
No, it's 78.
Yeah,
I got small feet.
Okay. Also, before we wrap up, I'd never told you what I thought your best quality was. Did I?
I don't think you did. No, I've been waiting.
Your organization.
Oh, shut up!
I'm kidding.
That's not true.
Best quality. You always sacrifice the things that are least important for the things that are most important. Like, you sacrifice the organization of your garage for all the time you spend with your family and your work. And it's great. And who wants a neat garage anyway?
You know what? If you walk in and see a neat garage, you know right away, nothing creative's happening there.
No. And let me tell you, Taylor, there's a lot of creative shit happening in this garage. I mean, God.
There's so much stuff being created.
I know.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Some of that's just stuff that we had to move out here because we got bed bugs. And I haven't put it back in the house yet.
So that's the bed bug stuff over there, huh? Is that why this couch is out here right now?
Nobody watches this, right?
Oh, that's why you keep friends like Taylor around.
Hey, to a good 4 years and another 4 years, Charlie Behrens.
Cheers.
I've seen you at the top. I'll see you at the bottom.
You've already seen me at the bottom, I'm pretty sure.
That's a good way to end it.
Yeah, I'll see you at the top. I'll see you when you're buying your Corolla back from your aunt. Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up. That's another episode of the Cripescast. Love talking to my buddy Dude Dad. Make sure you follow him at Dude Dad on all the platforms. Follow us at Cripescast. Colleen Maraca, thank you so much for being the EP of this podcast. Thank you to Hannah Milos for editing. Thanks to all of you for listening. And make sure you watch for deer. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. The Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle, and you think you're done? No. You got to keep her moving.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be
pet. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.